So, this is my first official time preaching, at Trinity. Today comes with lots of nerves and pressure, all of which I'm putting on myself. I love preaching, though. I love getting this opportunity to stand up here and proclaim the good news to God's people, to all of you. But, and yes, there is a but, I don't like preaching stories like the one we just heard from 2 Samuel. While I was an intern, I joked that the Holy Spirit loved to give me these hard stories to preach. I joked that the Holy Spirit was trying to whip me into preaching shape, trying to teach me that the good news could be proclaimed even in these stories of violence and suffering and death. When I saw that my first sermon here at Trinity was going to be on David and Bathsheba, my first reaction was, ugh, not again. In these moments, I often want to fight the Holy Spirit. I want to ignore those nudges, or if I'm being honest, those shoves, to go in a certain direction with my sermon. But as I wrestled with our story for this week, I kept coming to our theme of cover-up, and realizing that my call today is to avoid participating in the covering up of this story. The issue with this story about David and Bathsheba is its subject and its content. This story has elements to it that we don't often talk about in church. Sex, deceit, lies, violence, menstruation. If I'm being honest, this week I thought, oh God, where is that good news in a story about sex, deceit, violence? But I realized if I ignore those things, I would be participating in the covering up of truth. And that would do all of us a disservice. The truth is, David does something horrible in today's reading from 2 Samuel. His actions are so horrible that David realizes that he has to cover them up. This cover-up spirals out of control to the point of murder. But before we can even touch the cover-up, we have to be honest with ourselves about what David is trying to cover up. It seems at first read that David is trying to cover up an unintended pregnancy. But there's more to this story than just that. We have to dig a little deeper to really see it, because the story does give us clues that this is about more than an unintended pregnancy. First off, the story begins and tells us that the army is out fighting. They're outside of Jerusalem. But David is in Jerusalem. He wasn't out with the army fighting like the other kings. Because he's in Jerusalem, this story follows. David goes out to the rooftop, probably where he can see all of Jerusalem, and there he sees a beautiful woman bathing, doing exactly what Jewish purity laws require of a woman after her period, which makes her unclean. Instead of walking away, David sends someone to find out who this woman is. He is told that her name is Bathsheba, and she's married to one of David's loyal soldiers, Uriah. Even though David is married, and so is Bathsheba, he uses his power and influence to get Bathsheba, which is the New Revised Standard Version. That's the verb that it uses. However, the Hebrew would tell us a different story. The NRSV softens David's orders, because the Hebrew truly tells us that David's messengers took, captured, or seized Bathsheba. The NRSV attempts to give Bathsheba agency that she doesn't have. Bathsheba is brought to David, and David, again using his power and influence, has sex with her. David rapes Bathsheba and then sends her home. Bathsheba becomes pregnant, and so begins David's varied and multiple attempts to cover up this illicit and grievous action of objectifying and raping a married woman, which leads to the death of an innocent man. David and Bathsheba's story should sound familiar to us. It's a story that's been playing out with disturbing frequency lately. This story is about a powerful man who abuses his power, takes advantage of a woman, and then thinks he can get away with it. David could be replaced with Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Larry Nassar. The sad reality is these stories are not isolated. Sexual assault and harassment is everywhere. And as we're hearing today, even in our Bible. This fact tells me that I cannot be complicit in covering it up. This fact tells me that I have to be a part of uncovering the truth. The truth is, David sexually assaults Bathsheba and then tries to cover it up. David isn't the only one who's tried to cover up this story. Past commentators and biblical scholars are guilty of trying to cover it up. Biblical commentators have made Bathsheba the scapegoat. They have blamed her for David's actions. In their interpretation of this story, they have said things like, why was she bathing on the roof? Did she want David to see her? These words are essentially the equivalent of, she asked for it. How could Bathsheba know that David would be on the roof? Bathsheba is merely doing what is expected of a Jewish woman. Even Hollywood producers have tried to change how this story is told. They've tried to rationalize David's actions. There are two movies that portray this story. One of them from 1985 stars Richard Gere as David. In this film, Bathsheba confesses to David that Uriah, her husband, is abusing her. So David has Uriah killed. David is a hero. Another movie based on David and Bathsheba's story romanticizes it. This film, called David and Bathsheba from 1951, portrays it as a love story. David's actions against Bathsheba are portrayed as mutual. But these interpretations and movies do not reveal much truth. They participate in covering up this story. I refuse to do the same. I refuse to be a part of the cover-up. As a pastor, and also as a Christian, I'm called to be a part of uncovering the truth. I'm called to be a part of a larger uncovering that is happening all around us. I'm called to participate in God's work of uncovering the kingdom of God in our world. And so are you. The kingdom of God isn't this far-off place that is yet to be achieved. The kingdom of God is all around us. It is here. It is now. The kingdom of God is a place where all people are loved, cherished, protected, and cared for. Actions like David's are evil. These actions are sins. These actions work against God's kingdom. They attempt to destroy God's kingdom. They attempt to defy and defeat what God seeks for all people, for all of God's beloved children. Uncovering the truth is happening all around us. It has taken the form of the hashtag MeToo movement. Maybe your Facebook and Twitter news feeds were full of hashtag MeToos last October, like mine. This movement, begun by Tarana Burke and publicized by Alyssa Milano, sought to demonstrate the magnitude of sexual assault and harassment. It sought to uncover the truth, to name sexual violence not just as a problem, but a societal epidemic. The Me Too movement's work of uncovering has been this work of acknowledgement, of bringing awareness, of bringing things to light. Uncovering the truth has taken the form of feminist, biblical, and theological scholarship. For the last several decades, women biblical scholars and theologians have been attempting to reverse the cover-up of Bathsheba and other women's stories in the Bible, working to reinterpret this story and others through their unique lens as women. These women are bringing new voices and perspectives into the biblical and theological conversation that weren't there before. These authors are trying to uncover these stories, misinterpreted or covered up for so many years. The uncovering of truth is also happening in our church, the ELCA. Perhaps you've read the latest issue of Living Lutheran. The key subject of this issue is the draft social statement on women and justice. But if you haven't heard, the ELCA is in the process of reviewing this draft social statement. The social statement names sexism and patriarchy as sins. It acknowledges, it uncovers the ways that our own church has participated in sexism and the patriarchy. But it explores possible avenues for justice and women and all people in the church and our secular society as well. Now, this is a plug, but in fact, all Lutherans, you, are invited to participate in reviewing and commenting on this draft. The Lower Susquehanna Synod is putting together a group to discuss and send comments back to churchwide in September. All these forms of uncovering the truth are small glimpses into the kingdom of God. They show us that the kingdom of God is indeed being uncovered in our world. God is at work in our world. God is with women like Bathsheba who experience violence. God is with those who suffer. God is with those who feel pain. And we know this truth because of God's ultimate act of uncovering the truth, Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked this earth, the Gospels tell us he aligned himself with unlikely characters, with women, with sinners, with the sick. Jesus sought to be in relationship with people who suffered, who were in pain, who were ostracized and oppressed by their society. And then on the cross, Jesus himself suffered. Jesus himself felt human pain. On the cross, Jesus himself was ostracized and oppressed by human powers. This tells us that God is with all who suffer, all who feel pain, all who are oppressed, because our God has experienced it. This story from 2 Samuel may be about a cover-up, but we must remember that when humans try to cover things up, God is in the business of uncovering. God sent Jesus into this world to be God's hands and feet. God sent Jesus into this world to break through sin. God sent Jesus into this world to uncover the truth. The truth that God seeks for all people to experience love, healing, and grace. The truth that God is with us through all suffering and all pain. And the truth that God is far more powerful than any human cover-up. Amen.